So I'm going to bring Simeon and Johanna up in a minute, but before I do, would you bring up Acts chapter 1? I love the book of Acts because I think so often we think of the Bible as the book of thoughts. And it is the book of Acts. It's an action Bible. It's an action life. God has called us to engage the culture. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Get that, slow back. To do and teach. They go together. Keep going. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs. What are we doing? Oh, until the day when he was taken up in heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And stop there. Do you think when he was talking about the kingdom of God that for 40 days he was describing heaven to them? What was the kingdom of God? What was he doing? 40 days talking about the kingdom of God. Is that like, well, in heaven it's going to be like, no, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is his manifest rule in the earth. And so, like, the prayer time this coming Thursday is like an extension of the kingdom to pray because he's told us to pray. What Simeon and Johanna are about to do is to go out. It's a kingdom thing. It's going to be touching a lot of different lives. Keep going, please. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Holy Spirit promised, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now remember, these are people that perform miracles. These are people that Peter walked on water. They fed the 5,000, saw that miracle. Peter, James, and John went in when Jairus' daughter was raised. These apostles had gone out in twos and come back and said, even the demons are subject to us, and yet, he said, there's something more. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So first thing Jesus did was talk to them about the kingdom of God after the resurrection, which is all, it's all about, if you read the chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew are the constitution of the kingdom. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He's talking about the kingdom, but then he's saying, you can't do this journey by just being a believer and trying to be a good person. You need the Holy Spirit. You need power from God. And so you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, who is God, and be filled. Keep going. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Okay, again, presuppositions. Some of us think we know what God's doing or what God's going to do. If you are, you know that. Would you raise your hand, please? Who has it figured out? I have been to churches where they've got it all laid out on charts on the back wall. Tells you exactly what's going to happen. Nobody knows except God himself. But the disciples were predetermined to, they felt like that Jesus was their ticket. Now he's risen from the dead. He's going to restore Israel. This is all about Israel. Next verse. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you'll receive power, day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my martyrs, my witnesses, both. Would you say the word both? Okay, Simeon and Johanna are both people. Because you guys, this is Jerusalem. Okay? Erica, this is Jerusalem. Erica just got back from a trip around the world in December with her family and students from Concordia. But you will be my witnesses, both. Not either or. I talk to some people who would say, I got to leave so I can serve God. No, right now, here, right at the 7-Eleven, Ralph's, the soccer field, it is now. Both now. I've been invited to India again this year, and I'm praying I'm rebuking the devil about it. It's my third time. Why do they want me to come there? But I'm really praying about it. I renewed my passport. So I don't know, but when I get over there, I'm in their Jerusalem. To me, it's the remotest parts of the world. Last week, when Juan Carlos came, this was a remote part for him. But when you go to Havana, Cuba, or go to Sancta Spiritus, you are in Jerusalem. So you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, both in Mission Viejo and Concordia, both there and in all Judea, which is Phoenix. Maybe Phoenix. Judea is Phoenix, and then Colorado and Oklahoma and Samaria, the remotest, even the remotest parts of the earth, which would be Baltimore, right? It's his hometown. So, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And now, as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the way as you have watched him go into heaven." Three things in those few verses: the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, and the second coming. Now, a lot of churches build their whole life around the second coming. I don't think we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to occupy till he comes, knowing he is coming back. A lot of people build their whole life around experiences with the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing, but that has to be joined, the Spirit and truth agree, with the kingdom of God, God's law word for us to obey his commandments, that we're not just having our ears tickled, but that we're really putting them all together. So with the Lord, it's always truth and tension. So as I introduce Simeon, who needs no introduction, and Johanna, who needs no introduction, they've been here, it's hard to believe, Simeon told me they've been here over 8 years. About 8 years ago, I get a call from this real confident young man. Said, "Hey, what's going on? I'm on my way out there. I might stop by and see you." I said, "Well, boy, I feel great about that." I joked with him that he doesn't know as much as he used to, so he likes that. But in the early days, we did a thing during the week called Avenue. Some of you came to that. It was all during the summer, and it was really kind of muted, slow worship. People could have communion, and a lot of the high school, college particularly came. And Simeon was very much a part of that, along with Wicks, who's here today visiting. But the story was, in those days, I keep getting guests coming here. I started, "How did you get here?" They said, "Simeon." And I kept saying, "Well, who invited you?" He said, "Simeon." So I actually did do this. I'd see someone that was new in the church. I'd come up and say, "When did Simeon invite you?" "Oh," he said, "I saw him at such and such. We met him at the yogurt shop." So he really was a blessing to our church. He wasn't from here, yet he came and he gave. And it was shortly after that, Dudley and I were down at the pier in San Clemente, and we never go there, hardly. And we just happened to be there one night, and we look over, and there's these two lovebirds sitting there. They're just staring at each other, and they're eating. It was Simeon and Johanna. It was their first date. So we were able to bless them and just come over, and so it was their first date. And then, of course, a year, they were married right here in this church, John Norton presiding. And, of course, now they have Judah, who's over one. And there's been we were talking about it. We had him for dinner Thursday night. A lot of life has transpired. But the reason Simeon came to California was for, obviously it was the Lord, but and God did a lot of things that he needed to do. But it's for RIFO, which he's going to come up and explain that. They've got, I think they're going to show a video and share briefly what they're doing. But and I told him, sometimes I didn't understand the burden he has for musicians, the way he wants to go about it. I didn't quite get it. But what I do get is how committed he is to it. There's got to be something in it that he's seeing that is happening. And I believe there is. I know there is. And I know that they have a great opportunity now to minister to families of the host families. So I'm going to let you guys come up and share, and then I'm going to bring guys, we're going to pray for you when you're done, okay? So come on up. One last thing. You may not know, they're leaving tomorrow, and they'll be gone for 5 months all over the United States, so that's why we're sending them out. Okay.
And the beauty of it is, in this church, what we're doing is not weird because the Nortons have gone before us, so we actually had to borrow their playbook and kind of plan this thing out. So just, you know, it's normal now for Saddleback people to take their whole family and go on, you know, be gone for 5-6 months. So thank you, Kevin. We did have a wonderful dinner with Kevin and Dudley on Thursday. And
go eat at their house.
Yeah. That was really special. In the midst of all the plans to be able to take pause and to have that time. So as Kevin said, I came to California from Maryland over 8 years ago for the purpose of God doing something in my life, but really for the kingdom. And like Kevin was saying, it's a commission that we've all received, and it's for here and for the nations. And so what I want to share with you is the heart and the deep passion that God's given me for a particular need that I see for the gospel in our backyard. And opportunity that we have as a family to be ministers of the gospel in a context that desperately needs more of Jesus. So we have a few slides we're going to show. Hopefully this gives you guys some context, and we would love to talk afterwards. And we're actually going to grab lunch somewhere local, so anybody that doesn't have lunch plans and wants to hang out with us, that's the plan. So
you're paying for yourself.
Yeah. That is important to say. So I chose this picture because for those that are not in this world that I live, this is the environment that we minister in. You've maybe been there every once in a while, a concert, a venue. Maybe you have never asked yourself why you're there. But for me, the purpose has changed over time. When I was in college, it was about my own career in music, and pursuing music as my passion and wanted that to be my life. And then God ultimately changed that. I saw close friends of mine walk away from the Lord. I began to see behind the curtain. When you pull back the curtain on backstage, what is reality like? There's a lot of darkness and loneliness. There's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of evil. Satan has a ton of territory in the music world. We all have heard the slogan, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And it's, you know, it exists as a stereotype for a reason. Because culturally, that's a reality. Even sadly amongst a lot of Christian artists. One of the guys I've gotten to know has said, you know, they've been on a bunch of big tours with Christian bands. And he's like, maybe 1 out of 10 lived the lifestyle they communicated from the stage backstage, Christian bands that he's interacted with. As far as Satan having a huge amount of territory and dominion in the world of music, that's a reality. And in this space, we don't just have artists, but we have a flock of music fans that are there mostly for their own entertainment, and also kind of in this posture of worshiping this artist that they respect. And so for a lot of artists, the purpose for their music, maybe it starts out pure, but actually starts to become about them. And one of the things that we have an opportunity to do within RIFO is to give artists a purpose greater than themselves for why they've been gifted and how they can communicate through their music. So that's context for the environment we serve. So I want to run you through just some stuff that is important to how we communicate what we're doing. God's given us a mission, and again, this is about kingdom purpose, really to see transformed lives amongst musicians who are outside of the church through two avenues, radical hospitality and discipleship. And when I say musicians outside of the church, it's because of one of two things. Either they're a part of a local music scene and they've experienced or perceived the church as a place that's not welcoming to them, judgmental, hypocritical, right or wrong. There's a huge amount of artists in local music scenes around the country that are not going to show up in church on Sunday morning because they don't feel welcome. So our responsibility as the church, as I believe it, and our Great Commission is to go and to bring the truth of Christ to them. The other demographic is these touring artists, Christian and non-Christian, that spend the majority of their months on the road. So 8-10 months is kind of normal for artists to be traveling, touring. So they don't have a local community, really. Their life is nomadic. And so they're in need because they're isolated in their travel and in their loneliness, and that exists from that. And Christian artists that are, you know, that aren't connected to a church while they're on the road. And so if you can imagine being removed from this church community that we all hold so dear for 10 months, how is your faith going to be impacted by that? Being in environments that are not spiritually safe even to be in. So to reach musicians outside the church through radical hospitality and discipleship. Some statistics that I think help bring scope to the table when we talk about this is, you know, in some of my research, I've discovered that 81% of Americans, Christian and non-Christian, believe that our country's morals and values are declining. And that the primary reason they pin to music and media, the influence of entertainment world in our culture today, is causing our morals and values as a nation to tank. To add to that some context, if you're a Twitter person, 7 out of the top 10 Twitter accounts are musicians. So you talk about as far as the influence of their voice and the number of people following them, observing their lifestyle, 7 out of 10 are celebrity musicians, and their following is actually greater than the population of our country, 7 artists. So you can look here, 324 million approximate is the U.S. population recent. And then the population of the followers of those 7 artists, we have 366 million people dialed into the lifestyle of 7 artists, worshiping them, following their every move. And so as I look at that, I see opportunity for the kingdom. I see if the church shows up in those 7 artists' life alone, regardless of the thousands that are out there, and their lives are changed, and then the music that they create changes. How many fans are being influenced for the kingdom? Because they're dialed into and observing the lifestyle of these artists. So talk about a cultural voice of influence. I think it's unlike anything that we've seen. I will say, for those that want to get political, Barack Obama is one of those top 10, so we got to pray. So anyway. So to add to that, just an artist perspective, as I've had a chance to connect with local artists in Orange County over the last couple of years since I've left my corporate job to do this, one of the artists that I've gotten to know, he shared an anonymous perspective from his days traveling. He's not a touring artist anymore, just part of the local Orange County scene. But he said, you know, I've seen the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I've seen the artists struggling. I wish I would have had RIFO around when I was in my darkest days. Thankfully, the Lord has kind of recaptured his heart and passion. But for a lot of his time, when he did have a platform of influence, he had walked away from his faith and dealt with some real strong temptations in his life. So to add to that, to give you guys just a little more context of what we're talking about when we say radical hospitality, Kevin mentioned that we have host families we're going to be staying with. And so RIFO has developed a network of Christian families around the country in 25 states and a couple in Canada, where these families have a gift of hospitality, much as Henry Nouwen describes here. He says, hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines, to create an environment that's conducive for God to show up and to minister to artists' lives, to create a space that these artists don't have to perform. This isn't a show. You come, you be yourself, we welcome you like family. We love on you generously as Jesus does. And we see opportunity for kingdom investment to be placed in their lives. And I could tell you so many stories of artists that have been influenced through this network of Christian families that we're going to get to connect with that we've known from a distance. But now we get to travel and spend time with them and really invest deeply in their families, equip them and train them with some things that we've learned along the way in our journey personally as a couple, and recruit others. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But the heartbeat behind what we're trying to accomplish is here, is that we're inviting artists, Christian and non-Christian alike, into a space where they experience the love of Christ and they experience the gospel through relationship. And then the opportunity that opens from that to see a movement of discipleship throughout the music community amongst artists that don't know Jesus. So, like I said, we're going on the road. We're going to be all over the country for 5.5 months with a one-year-old. And again, we're not crazy because the Nortons are crazier.
We still have Target and
Yeah, we still have access to, like, you know, normal American stuff. But we will be staying with these families that have already partnered with RIFO to be a blessing to them and to really build awareness around them of what they're doing so they can have support from family and friends, people in their church, instead of just kind of going at it alone in a lot of ways. And then recruiting new people in areas of the country where we're trying to grow and expand so that we have representation all around the country. And then the heartbeat, like I said, discipleship. With a lot of these families, you know, they see the opportunity because they're generous, hospitable people to, like, love on artists, and for them, that's, like, that's enough. But we're going as a catalyst to challenge them beyond where they've gone before and to begin to consider how they can influence the local music scene as well as the artists that are staying with them already and begin to develop discipling relationships with them. And one way that's going to happen is we're out on the road is not just recruiting people to become host homes, but inviting individuals to become chaplains to the music community. Athletics, military, a lot of other industries have chaplain ministry. The music community is one that it doesn't really exist in kind of an organized fashion. And so now we have an opportunity through some of the development work we've been doing to invite people to become ordained and step into a chaplain role, either to influence a local music scene or even to go on the road with bands and tour with them as sort of like a road pastor would. And so we're inviting people into that opportunity as well. As we travel, there will be some fun along the way. I'll let Johanna talk about that. It's not going to be like go, 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 but it will be pretty fast-paced, as you can see how many places we're trying to cover, and it's most of the country. So we really do cover your prayers in order to sustain us while we're on the road. Yeah. There's my Vanna White. We do have some copies of this that we're going to leave in the donut room if you guys want to stick it on your fridge and kind of keep track with where we're at to pray for us. There is our blog on here, hashtag RIFO Road Tour, that we're going to use on social media if you want to stay, you know, updated along the way while we travel. We are coming back to Orange County. It's kind of the end of our trip to sort of debrief the experience, be able to kind of pray about what's next, because we actually are, like Kevin said, leaving this week, but we've just been moving, packing to move off of campus at Concordia, where we've lived for the last 3 school years. And that's been an amazing thing, too. But we're kind of venturing out from that at this point. So part of the process that helps sustain us, in addition to your prayers, is the organization that we're now a part of. In the last year, RIFO became a part of CRM, which stands for Church Resource Ministries. They are a global missions agency based in Anaheim. And it was totally a God's sovereign thing that we got connected with them. Johanna's cousins are missionaries with CRM in London. And they have over 500 missionaries all around the world. I got connected with them through Johanna, and ultimately God led us back to conversation with them last year. We came under their umbrella as our parent organization, and the infrastructure that they have from an operational standpoint and relationally is amazing. Their tagline is empowering leaders, and it's really what they do well. They identify people that they believe God has placed a call in their life. They come alongside you to help see that go the distance. And so I have leadership that is supervisory to me, that helps speak wisdom, elder men and women that have kind of gone before to speak wisdom into our decision-making, and then relationally to invest in us. They have a whole team of staff development and care that really cares about the vitality of their couples and missionaries to ensure that they're in a safe and healthy environment and they're cared for. And so I've had regular opportunities to connect with their teams and be praying together and encouraged. And I mean, they flew me to Spain in the fall for a training. I was like, I didn't pay a dime. I mean, the investment that they make in people is really significant from a training standpoint, relational standpoint. And so it's just like God provided us a home in which we can be sustained, and it's a real blessing. And you guys are a part of that. I mean, I've had an office upstairs next to Kevin for the last 2 years as I've been figuring this out, leaving my corporate job, taking on this new posture of living And so I've been grateful for Kevin's generosity in that and the conversations that we've had along the way. Like Kevin said, there's been moments that he kind of understood a little more. And again, this is something that God has placed deeply on my heart for my own personal story. But I hope this is something that you guys can see is about the kingdom going forth and the influence of the gospel all around this country and beyond. So from that, I want to hand it over to my lovely wife to share kind of her reflections on this trip for our family. And let me pray.
You know when, like, you know you're going to speak and you have those terrible dreams of terrible things that happen? Well, in my dream, I kept forgetting my shirt. And, like, I would show up to the church, and I'm like, where's my shirt? So at least I remembered that this morning. That's really good. This is not coming down for me, but that's okay. Yeah, okay. So let me bring my notes back up. It's funny. I think we were feeling just this strong desire this morning. Just, this is such a personal thing for us, and it's... Gosh. I did not dream about this. Okay. I just feel such a strong responsibility to communicate this message well, because this is really the first time in our life, individually and as couples, where God has placed such a significant calling on us. And, like, this is great, and we have a plan and an agenda, but we really are just going to be led by the Spirit, and God has the ultimate plan, and we just are along for the journey, and He knows everything that's going to happen, and we need Him so much. And so it's like we're just stepping into new territory that we've never experienced anything like this, and no one has ever ventured out to do something like this for the music community that we know of. So it's just, it feels big, you know? So I think that's why this morning I was like, gosh, I just don't want to say the wrong things or whatever. So, but anyways, a few years ago, we were introduced to a worship and prayer night through the Nortons, a connection that they had through Erica's sister-in-law, Natalie. And so we started going to this worship and prayer night as we were starting at Concordia just for some additional time to be poured into. And one of the evenings, their worship leader said to us, he said, I just feel like God is showing me that you guys have the spirit of Joshua on you, and that there is adventure ahead, and there's just something that God's going to do with you that's like Joshua. So we started reading the book of Joshua, and we're like, oh, this is exciting, but what in the world does this mean? Like, is this about Concordia? Like, are we knocking down walls of Jericho at Concordia's campus and taking the land? And it really didn't make a lot of sense to us then, but we were thankful for, you know, just the prayers and the support. And then over the women's retreat weekend, we were both reminded of the word about Joshua. So we've started reading the book again, and it has been amazing what God has done to use that word in our life to really confirm this trip. And one verse in particular that I want to share is Joshua 1:9. And this has kind of become the theme verse of us setting out, and I think the foundation we're standing on. If we can bring Joshua 1:9, I haven't memorized it yet, so I will read it from there. It says something to the effect of be strong and courageous, and it's very good. So there it is. Okay, so God says this to Joshua three times, and the people even say it again to Joshua when he's being final, you know, given the mantle of leadership. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I actually found that on a keychain at the women's retreat, and that's on our car's keychain now, and it's just a reminder for us that wherever we go, the desolate parts of the earth, Baltimore, rioting, Louisiana, storms, apparently there's tornadoes all across. I'm terrified of tornadoes. So there's just a lot going on, and God is really instructing us to be strong and courageous. And if you talked to me a few months ago, I was really worried about this trip as a wife, as a mom, as somebody who likes structure and schedule and who likes to have a full closet of clothes and all that kind of stuff. I was like, how are we going to live this way? This is just insanity. But God has really been working in us just, I think, a supernatural courage that we're going to go out. This is God's work. It is His heart. It is His calling. And we get to do something amazing together, and that's such a cool opportunity. I'm also really excited to bring Judah, as, you know, he's one, and he'll run around, and he probably won't remember a whole lot, but I think as a family, we get the opportunity to set a culture and lay a foundation that when we say we love the Lord and we say we want to be obedient, we are willing to go when He calls us, and to have that to be a part of His background, I think, is going to be really, really neat. So I did want to share a few things. People have been asking all kinds of questions, and so I'm just going to answer them for us as a group. And then if you have other questions, we'd love to answer them. But people keep asking us, what are you most worried about or fearful of? And that's why Joshua 1:9 is so important. We're not worried. We're not fearful. We might get a flat tire. Our car might break down. The worst case scenario could happen. But we believe that God will even use that as an opportunity to extend the kingdom. There could be a AAA tow truck driver, in the middle of God knows where that needs to hear the story of redemption. And I fully plan on asking and sharing if that moment occurs. I'm like already thinking, if my car breaks down, it means someone needs to be saved. So I will make sure that person knows Jesus by the time we're done.
Just share him, right?
Yeah, just share it. Just do the thing. I'm just doing the thing. So we're really not fearful, and I think that's just evident of God's presence. Another question is, what state are you most excited about? And there's lots of states on the list I haven't been to. I'm excited about all of them. But we all are very much looking forward to our time in Louisiana. We have a host home there. The gentleman is a pastor of a church, and his team does outreach in the French Quarter. And so we get to go do street outreach with their team, and I just love that stuff. I can't wait to be on the streets of Louisiana just meeting people. And again, New Orleans. Yeah, French Quarter, New Orleans. So we're really looking forward to that. We're going to be doing some touristy stuff in New York. We do have breaks. That's another question people have been asking us. They're like, what's your pace? We'll be in each home 2 to 4 days. We're doing events with the homes. We'll hopefully be speaking at churches. We're going to be doing nights gatherings where we, you know, share the message of RIFO, having meals with the homes. But there are definitely going to be breaks. People have to work. You know, our host families aren't going to be with us 100% of the time, so we'll get opportunities to explore the city and just be a family in the midst of it. We're going to go to Yellowstone and do sightseeing, New York do sightseeing, family reunion in Pennsylvania, so we're going to be spending a lot of time with the Lormans on the East Coast. That'll be really good. We're doing beach visits, so don't worry, we'll get rest in
the
midst.
We'll
have fun. Yeah, we'll have fun as well. I really loved what Hannah shared this morning because God's been putting that on my heart. Praying in each state is absolutely on our agenda. We did a trial run road trip to Colorado over Easter break to see how this thing would really play out. And we ended up in this little area. I don't even remember the name of the town, but I remember exactly what the girl working the convenience store looked like. And I remembered how her spirit felt. She felt heavy and she felt burdened. And I stood there and I talked to her and I walked away and I prayed for her. And her face keeps popping back up into my mind. And I can't remember her name, but the Lord knows her. He knows her story, he knows her situation, and he knows that she lives in a town of like 300 people. And it's those moments and those situations that we're going to be there. Our feet will be on the ground. Our prayers are going to be in those states, and we're just going to be covering the place as we go. I think it was Luke 12 where Jesus commissions the 72 to go out. And he says, go into each home. If they receive you, extend your peace on them. Give them your peace. If they don't, shake it off. You know, he says, shake the dust off your sandals and keep moving. And so I'm really excited to live that. Like, the book of Acts, this is real. You know, the Holy Spirit is with us, on us, and we'll be moving. So looking forward to that. Lastly, if you were at the women's retreat, you know I already did my ugly cry, so I'm not going to do that this morning. But real ugly. I lost my voice for like 4 days after that. But we just really want to extend a thank you to you guys. You are our family. You are our body. You have done amazing things in our relationship, in our marriage. I'm looking out. Each of you has impacted us in some way, whether you went out with Dudley and picked flowers for 3 days to help decorate the wedding, or, you know, just so many things. You guys are so special to us, and so we're taking you with us. We know that this is home base for us. This will always be home base for us, and we just can't say thank you enough for who you've been and what you represent, and that you're going to be praying for us and loving us. I especially want to thank Kevin and Dudley. You guys are amazing. You have been like surrogate parents to me, spiritual parents, and we just love you so much. Many nice things were spoken about you, Kevin, at the women's retreat, and it's very good. You guys have invested so much, and I know that even our experience is just the fruit of your prayers and your investment, your sacrifices as a couple. And just thank you. Thank you for releasing us to go. Hannah's going to go get my wonderful little boy so we can have him up here and pray with us. But yeah, it's going to be really good. So
thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Can I get the elders up here? And Pat, if you'd come too, the worship team, if you'd come up and take your place up there. They're going to be, I think, in 26 different homes. Is that right?
It's more like 50.
50 different homes. That's going to take a grace in itself. I wrote a letter to them, and there's a gift on behalf of the church to help them with, beef jerky they have to get along the way, coffee. You need, what else would you need?
Diapers.
So this is for you guys on behalf from the church, okay? And Simeon and Johanna, thank you. And Simeon, Simeon did all that special music for so many years. You really have invested here as well as out there. And we will keep you in prayer. Keep us. You know me, I'm not the best on Twitter, or you're going to have to figure out, but I want to stay in touch. And so let's join our hearts. If you guys would stand. Extend your hands towards them. I'm going to ask, I'm going to have Matt first and then Coop.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the special time where we're just gathering around friends that have really become family. And Lord, we go out with them. We just release them to do your will. Lord, we ask that you would prepare a way for them in every home, that you would soften the hearts of the families that are going to receive them, Lord. And I pray that you would just give them real wisdom in their conversations with the folks they come in touch with and in contact with, Lord. We go out with them, Lord. We pray that wherever they go, that they would feel this body of believers around them, their prayers would lift them up, that you'd protect them as they drive. Lord, that this would just be a trip of a lifetime for them, Lord.
Lord God, we ask that you would just bless them for their availability. Lord, it's amazing what you can do with people who are available, God, and they're available, and putting it all on the line for you, Lord. This is for you. And so, God, I ask that you would multiply every effort, every mile driven, every word, Lord, that you would expand on it just like you did with the loaves and the fish, Lord God, that one word of encouragement would be like 100, Lord, and that you would just bless all their efforts, Lord. And we pray that your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, that they would bring your kingdom and your will, God, not their own, but that they would be ministers to expand your kingdom, Lord God, and your will in those homes, Lord, that they would just be tools in your hand, God, to bring life and to just bring healing where you see that it's needed, Lord God. Bless them.
Father, I thank you that the Lormans are going out in the right perspective, God, that not trusting in their own selves, Lord, but trusting in you, Lord, that they know that you are with them wherever they go, Lord. And God, I just pray that would remain their focus, Lord, that this is your will, that they, with all of their giftings that you have blessed them with, and we have been blessed by them for so long, God, that they would continue to trust in you and that you would move in and through them, Father. And Lord, we pray for the stories. God, just as Johanna just shared about the tow truck driver, which hasn't happened yet. But Lord, we pray for those stories that they will happen, God, and they come back in a few months and just share those amazing things that you're going to do in and through them. We thank you in advance for all of them.
I have a scripture for you guys, Romans. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So, Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we just, as the prayers have gone out, Lord, that you're already there. You've gone ahead. You've prepared the way. God, and we just pray that whatever situation they enter in, whoever's home, that you're already there, God, and that you make the way easy for them, God. And I pray that they would plow into you, that they would plow deep into you, God, and that you would welcome them with open arms as they begin and go through this journey, God. And we stand with them and pray for them, encourage them, and look forward to the work and the testimony that will come from this amazing adventure. Thank you, Lord.
Allow me to personalize a portion of scripture for you two. The Lord spoke to Bill, saying, speak to Simeon and Jojo, saying, this is the way you shall bless all the families you meet and the musicians you encounter. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, seeing that you have such grace for musicians, I'm going to lead us in a song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. What you hear, let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Lord, we now lay hands on them. Just as you brought them into the body, Lord, we release them into this journey. Lord, not released relationally or love, Lord, but the governmental side of this where they are out, Lord, going about, doing their business. We ask for your favor and they're going out and they're coming in. Lord, we ask for your protection, that you will watch over their marriage. Lord, I pray that their marriage would be deepened through this, Lord, and strengthened, Lord, and their relationship with Judah, that this is the beginning of a journey for them that only you know where it's going. And as I believe many times, Lord, they're going out with something in mind, but you have something in mind that they don't even know. And we bow the knee to that and say, thy will be done in your mighty name. So we release them and bless them, and everybody said, amen. Amen.